All right, everyone, welcome to this week's episode of
The Wild Bunch
with your hosts
Joe Hernandez
and Gregory Valdez.
That was a smooth intro.
Oh, I'm pretty happy with that.
So that's probably the best one we've done yet, I think.
And you know what? That makes me even more satisfied because my stomach was hurting a little bit ago.
Uh-huh.
And it just stopped hurting. And so, not because of that, but
okay.
It really makes me feel like everything's meant to be right now.
Why is your stomach hurting?
I ate way too much arroz con leche.
He had a lot of arroz con leche.
Literally, I ate a bowl and a half.
I mean, they can't see the bowl though, so that could mean anything.
Okay, so it was a bowl about this big. Today we're talking about one of the most exciting topics that we've had come up on the queue.
I think it's something that comes up in everybody's mind probably every day, right? I would assume, at least in some way, shape, or form.
Unless you're asexual.
That's a thing.
Yeah, so we don't want to discount our asexual friends today, but this is not the asexual episode.
No.
In fact, we will have a later episode dedicated to just sexuality itself. And today, we're talking dating and sex in 2018, because we've really hit some sort of threshold here in 2018.
Yeah, I think the key part of that title is the fact that it is 2018. Like, you know, we're talking about dating in 2018. It's not like how it was 4 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe even debatable 2-3 years ago. What's changed?
Oh, it's the year of savagery.
It's the year of savagery.
Okay, so just today, iTunes Apple Store has just put up a dating 101 page. So each week they go ahead and preview like a section for apps in a specific category: productivity, lifestyle, fitness. And today it's dating 101. So they're really talking about 4 or 5 different apps: Tinder, Hinge, OkCupid, and then one that's specifically for lesbians and queer.
What was that one?
I forget the name of it.
Okay.
We can go back and add it or talk about it in the second half when I get the name.
But sounds good.
It's obviously on everyone's mind, and apps are what has changed the scene. Sure, there was dating apps 5 years ago, Joe. And another thing, Joe and I are going to really represent two different halves to a perspective here. Now, we're both male, obviously, but Joe dating heterosexual purely and me dating across the board, it's quite different.
Yes. Times.
Apps, though, are what has changed the game.
You just got a message on one of those apps.
Oh, which one?
So, I mean, that being said, I mean, I like to think, the romantic in me, I like to think that this is not the only way to meet people. I like to think it's not even the most optimal way to meet people, but a lot of friends, a lot of people my age, that's how they're doing it. Is that the only way?
No, not at all. So, I'm 27 and Joe's 25. Just because there's a 2-year gap, there isn't much of a difference in how we can date. And I too am a romantic, and maybe for better. Maybe for worse at times, just because, right, growing up, reading a lot of literature, being really big into, not like soap operas or anything, but even in the sick fucked up movies I've watched along the way, there's this slant on romanticism in which even the most fucked up of people can meet the one for them.
Yeah.
There is not just dating apps that can allow us to date now. Unfortunately, that is a big way of how our generation lives. So if we try not to use the dating apps, we are swimming upstream.
Pretty much. It's interesting because I guess big thing about the app is it provides convenience. You know, you just, you can literally be on the toilet swiping on these things, meeting the love of your life, potentially.
Now, I have to admit, I don't like to be on a dating app while I'm on the toilet.
Oh, we don't need to talk about that. I'm just saying, if you wanted to, you could. And I know there's plenty of you out there that have done it.
I'm just saying it adds new meaning to the old adage, you don't shit where you eat. What dating apps do you have on your phone right now?
Right now, Bumble's on there.
Mm-hmm.
Tinder's on there. I don't like using Tinder.
Why don't you like using Tinder?
Tinder's Tinder's kind of, we were talking about it with a friend this past weekend, and if you think about Tinder, you think about quality. Are you going to expect good quality from a McDonald's? Probably not. That's how I feel about Tinder. Tinder seems raunch, almost. Not to say that the people on there are raunch, but for some reason, Bumble has a different feel than Tinder, where Tinder feels like less likely like you're going to meet the one, where Bumble, you're more likely to meet someone who's serious about dating.
Serious?
Yes.
That's, I love that as a word to latch onto, because let's say that Tinder is the Graham Central Station
okay.
of dating apps. If you're in San Antonio, you know Graham Central Station, and you know that it's closed. And you know you didn't go there unless you were looking for a raunchy good time.
Yes.
Now, Bumble is more serious. I have to agree.
Right.
It's like going to a actual sit-down and be waited on restaurant, comparatively.
Sure.
And we're talking about quality.
Well, if you're talking about meeting people, you can meet people at Graham Central Station. You kind of have an idea of what you may or may not get there. Or you can go and meet someone at a Starbucks.
Ah. It's always like one of those first dating spots.
Oh, yeah.
I don't,
not even that, but like I've, you know, met girls at Starbucks before.
The whole turn to somebody and like, hey,
when you use the bathroom, you mind watching my coffee real quick? Oh, cool, thanks. I'll come back. Oh, so what's your name? Were you studying there?
Yeah, what are you working on?
Yeah. Oh, you mind if I sit with you?
That's a big book you got there.
It's all that, dude, the big books actually really work.
Always a good talking.
Take your dog if you have a dog.
Yes. Yes. Just sit outside. okay then. That's a good stage setting. There are other apps out there. So, now there is Hinge. And I learned about Hinge this weekend.
Right.
And Hinge seems like this new twist on the whole swiping messaging, because it forces engagement.
Yes.
You have to go ahead and comment on a picture or some description that somebody is...
You don't have to comment on the picture or description, but if you just like it, you're less likely to get a response.
Right.
If you like it and or comment on it, witty comment on a picture or on some little quote that they have, you're more likely for someone to respond and actually engage you.
I think in that way you've skipped the first step of engagement. Like you would have on an app like Tinder.
I hate openers.
Exactly. On Tinder, you match.
Oh, I hate the whole thing about openers. This is my big gripe with openers. Okay. I'm pretty sure someone's talked about it on many, many forums. But you have Tinder, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, generally speaking, when it's a heterosexual thing, it's kind of expected that the guy's gonna open to the girl, correct?
Right.
Yeah, that's... I mean, not always, of course, not always. But that's kind of the general line of thought we carry. Dude, a lot of girls, they gotta have a good opener. You know, no one wants the, hey, what's up? Hi.
Yeah.
And I get that. Okay, cool. Respectable. You want someone witty, funny. You want a good first impression, even though it's on an app where you see a picture of me that could never, ever, ever get you to get an impression of me at all in the first place. Then you have Bumble. Bumble changed the game because the girl has to message the guy first.
Mm.
It's always, hey.
Ah.
Girls always use the hey, the hi, or the what's up.
Oh, double standard.
Yes! Exactly.
And you know how we feel about double standards.
I love them.
I can use them to my advantage, definitely. But on the surface, we hate them. Everyone should.
Yes.
But obviously, right? It's like a loophole in the system. I'm gonna go ahead and play into this.
Let me ask you this. How does that work when you match with a guy, for instance, on Bumble? Who messages who first?
So what I've noticed there is that it gives control of the conversation to one of the guys.
So it kind of designated to someone.
Right. And I'm not sure if it's on who swiped first or if it's random, but it has a handoff.
Wait, okay. So then say it's an app where there isn't a requirement for one of the guys, or one, you know, if it's two girls matching with each other.
Right.
If there's not a requirement, how is it determined who opens first? Are you a firster opener?
Joe, I'm a top.
That's not what I'm talking about.
No, I understand, but that's a great segue. So let's get down and dirty, everyone. On an app like Grindr, and if you don't know, Grindr is probably going to be definitely the McDonald's of the gay dating world. If not subpar to McDonald's.
It might be like a dirty gas station.
Oh, but I love my gas stations.
I know you do.
That makes a lot of sense. I that's an app I will not use anymore. And back in the day was somebody who visited. And the thing there is that it's a grid system. And so you see people in your area, and it's basically just a square in which you can click on it, read about them, and message.
That's kind of funny to me.
It's based on a picture, a short descriptor, and a few stats.
I think what bugs me about that, and kind of going off topic a little bit, but what you described is exactly what would be in an actual situation in an environment. You go to a bar, club, party, event, whatever. There's a bunch of people, actual grid, quotation mark, so to speak. And if you want to find out what their, again, quotation mark, profile is, go talk to them. Say hi. Hi, how are you? My name's Joe. Nice to meet you. What do you do? Yada, yada, yada.
Not off topic. That's just really opens up a door here, because I like to go ahead and think of a situation like that and also reflect on how these dating apps have made it easier to be a little bit more aggressive. So you're in a bar.
Okay.
And you see a cute girl.
Sure.
And you walk up to her.
Yep.
And you say, "Do you mind if I eat your ass out?"
Oh my god.
What do you think is going to happen?
You're probably going to get slapped.
Now, as we learned about this weekend, that's something that a girl can quite often be asked on a dating app.
Yes, this does happen. So we were hanging out with a friend over this weekend. We were discussing the podcast topic this week, and she was telling us stories like this, like how a guy opened with,
"Can I eat your ass?"
Which is, you know, you don't care. I guess, you know, this guy is like, "Oh, I'm just gonna crash and burn kamikaze style anyways, whatever."
I love when you mention that.
It's on an app. There's no repercussion. I can tell this person whatever I want. Whereas in real life, you can do that, but it's probably not gonna go as well.
No. So this digital way of interacting with each other has not only made engagement easier, not only made situational awareness of each other very, very different, and added a new perspective in which we can go ahead and engage each other sexually, but it's also made the perverts more able to be a pervert.
Right. And it kind of, well, ruins the apps for anyone that is wanting to use them seriously, because there are people that do that.
Right.
There are people that genuinely want to get on these apps and meet someone to date seriously, but they run into people like this, and it's, you know, you don't expect anything. And it takes, we've sucked out all the romance to begin with putting into these apps, and whatever romance was left is being sucked out even more. That's a good sound effect.
How do you feel about ghosting?
It's
Halloween. Let's talk about that for a second.
So let's define ghosting.
Ghosting is in which, and I guess it doesn't have to be on an app at all, which is what makes this a good broad topic. Ghosting is when you are speaking to somebody, you've met them, you have this like for each other, maybe you like him more, maybe she likes you more, it doesn't matter. But in this course of conversating over apps, and then maybe you move on to Snapchat or texting or Instagram, eventually there's this moment in which the conversation ends.
It just stops out of nowhere. There's sometimes not even a reason. It just ends.
Exactly. Yeah. With the obvious intention on one party's part that there's seemingly a lack of interest all of a sudden.
Right. Yes. I've ghosted. I've been ghosted. I think that my thing with these apps is I could never take any of these apps seriously. If I'm ever in a situation where I'm using them, I don't expect to meet the love of my life on it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I've found myself, and this probably isn't the right thing to do, use them when you're bored, you mean, or to see who's into town. I think it's nice if you go to another town And you use them to see, you know, people to hang out with. Not even a dating intention or hookup intention or anything like that, but just to meet different people in the area if you don't know the area. I think that that's okay that people do that. Now, it's odd. For instance, okay, the last time I got ghosted, I was using the app maybe about 2-ish months ago.
Okay.
Matched. Was talking with this girl. Decent conversation. I didn't think too much of it, right? Went cold. It had happened before. It's happened before. I'm sure it's happened to many of you, whether you're a girl or a guy, whatever. And what was weird about this ghosting situation was 2 months later, maybe like a week or two ago, this girl, we had exchanged numbers at this point, but this girl texted me and was like, oh, hey, sorry I didn't text back. I forgot and I was looking at my messages, yada, yada, yada. Conversation starts up again. But to me, I was like, that's like 2 months. That's strange. You know, what goes on in that 2 month span kind of thing?
Or she was playing the field.
Absolutely. And that's, my mind was exactly what was going on. You're on this app. You talk to a bunch of different guys. There's one that you think, okay, I'll go hang out with this one. It doesn't work out. And then you move on to the next in line. But there's something ingenuous about all of it that I don't like. I don't like what it's doing to people. I don't like what it's doing to society and dating just in general.
Do you remember in the 90s, in movies, TV shows, there would always be the guy with a black book?
Yes.
Right? And I think in How I Met Your Mother, Barney Stinson is a guy with a black book.
Yes.
So.
And a website.
Oh.
And a blog.
Oh.
Yeah, Barney's like a really good example of that, to like the hyper edge of that kind of thing.
These apps do not make that sort of concept new. It's been around for a while, but it's added another way for us to go ahead and black book somebody.
Uh-huh.
You add them to the Rolodex. And so that's ghosting. And then sometimes you can get a comeback from like, oh, shit.
I didn't know that was possible, but I guess apparently, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess anything's
like,
possible.
The exorcism did not work.
The comeback came back.
Okay, so for me, I've been ghosted. I've ghosted.
Uh-huh.
And that's something I have told myself I will not do anymore. That in breaking off some sort of interest with somebody, there has to be a civil way to do it. Now, I think that when you do this, it's actually a good gauge in how the other person responds to this.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you want to think hard about how you're going to do it.
Right.
And you want to do it with the right intention. So, if somebody reacts in a way that's, they were expecting a marriage out of this, that's a pretty big sign that maybe you were on the right path anyways.
Uh-huh.
Now, you get ghosted. You ever get your heart broken? Have you gotten your heart broken being ghosted?
No.
Okay. I don't think I have either.
No.
I'm just asking. It makes me... one of the last times... I wasn't ghosted, but thinking of somebody who was able to go ahead and not ghost me and break it off with me,
uh-huh.
It was quite civil.
Okay.
They said, Greg, can I go ahead and talk to you? Now, thinking that they wanted to call me and have a conversation.
Had you met this person at this point?
Yes.
Okay.
So we had gone out on maybe 3 dates.
Okay.
Somebody I was very interested in. And it was about... right, maybe a few weeks after the last time we saw each other, messaged me, can we talk? I said, yes. And it turns out they wanted to go ahead and warn me that they were going to disappear.
Okay.
Also turns out that they had met somebody else.
Uh-huh.
And look, whether or not they were with this person while they were seeing me or anything like that, I thought it was handled at least well enough to go ahead and let me know that they were going to disappear from conversations
me. It's like a courtesy, you know what I mean?
It was.
Manners, being kind to someone.
And I have to admit, after that, as much as I like that person, I wasn't heartbroken.
Uh-huh.
It was something I could go ahead and let roll off my shoulder. Now, I think that is the proper way we should go about it.
I think so too.
These apps have made it easier to be dastardly. I want to get into that a little bit more.
Dastardly.
Oh, dastardly. Oh, I mean, it's like dining and dashing, man.
Uh-huh.
So, the hookup, the one-night stand, as generations before us have always had, you meet somebody at a bar, you have a great time, you're having too many drinks, maybe that's not even a thing that's involved. You go ahead, go to one of each other's apartments or house, you have sex, and then there's even possibly a sleepover. and then somebody leaves in the morning, and you never talk again.
And then?
Is there anything wrong with that?
It depends. You know, if it's two consenting adults that know what they're doing and they're both okay with that, and they're both aware that it is a one-time thing, then I think it's okay. Now,
that's like the most solid situation for love. Oh, absolutely. We both agree beforehand and now, sign a contract.
If it's something where someone is taking advantage of someone, or a guy or a girl or whoever is giving off a vibe that they want something serious and they're only giving off that serious vibe just to get into someone's pants. But Barney Stinson does this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pretends to be this, you know, amazing guy that the girl wants. It's pretty
the
much
gentleman, the knight in shining armor.
It's tricking someone into sleeping with you. I don't agree with that. I don't think that's cool.
No. And I wouldn't say, tricking somebody into sleeping with me.
Uh-huh.
Okay, maybe I've done that. Okay. I guess I would have not liked to think of it that way.
Uh-huh.
But all right, let me let that wall down. I've been there.
Uh-huh.
I've done that to people. It's something I try not to, something I don't do now. And I realize how much that hurts others. Especially when you have somebody who has your Snapchat or your number or your Instagram and comes back in full force saying, "Hey, what happened? Where are you? What's going on?"
Yeah, you put on the spot. And like you said earlier, it's nice to give that courtesy of, well, what did happen?
Yeah. There's a lot of different ways.
Right.
Okay. Now, when it comes to these apps, I'll give a little bit of perspective on the non-heterosexual approach, or at least what's going on there. Because what I've heard a lot about this heterosexual outlooks on something like Tinder, okay, so if Grindr is like this bottom, and then there's others. Just by the way,
the
Scruff.
What?
Yeah. There's like a sugar daddy one.
Oh God.
There's one specifically for people in the scat.
No.
I'm kidding. That's something you can put in your bio. Anyways. I found that Tinder is now taking more seriously.
Really?
Because something like Grindr or those other apps exist.
Okay.
Bumble is like new to the scene altogether. Like, yes, guys can be with guys on there, but at the same time, it's like we're barely getting there.
Oh, and now there's Bumble Business, which
I
don't know how
that
today, works.
Yeah. I'm very interested. That's another podcast, though. Now, you know, we can go into a lot of history of how hard it's been for gays to date, but there's layers in which, okay, on Grindr, you could have where you didn't have your picture at all. You just had a bio and like looking for somebody.
Didn't have a picture?
Yeah, not out. Have a descriptor, right? And what would happen was you would go ahead and message somebody with your picture.
Okay.
Because you were an out or you were curious or one of
sure.
those things. And then it was where you'd have a picture of your body and no face.
God.
And if somebody was shallow enough, they'd probably message you like, let me see your face. Depending on how horny they were, maybe it didn't matter. As long as you could back it up with other pictures of your body.
Okay.
See these layers here where...
Well, it sounds sad.
It is. There's also this sadness in not being out. And that's where this aspect comes from at times. It's not all there, but...
When you say not being out, what do you mean?
Like somebody who is gay, but nobody knows.
Hasn't come out. Got it, okay.
So in this sort of situation, it's... Right, where do you start? How do you build up any sort of interaction with another male?
The thing that kind of bothers me about that is you mean to tell me that there's these people out here, young men, maybe older men, women, whatever, that haven't come out yet, and in order to kind of explore that feeling that they have inside of them, they're going to go into an app like that in order to do it because they feel like they can't do that in the openness of the world around them.
Yes.
That sucks.
And 15 years ago, it would be some guy very, very scared, very frightened going into a shady gay bar or something like that. Or, right, let's start it 10 years ago. And in between 5 and 10 years ago, it was Craigslist. Hey, I'm just putting it out there. You know, that's how it happened. But we're in 2018.
Uh-huh.
So now there's a smorgasbord of outlets for somebody to go ahead and explore their sexuality and curiosities like that.
Okay, so then why are people, whether gay or straight, why do you think that people are resorting to apps like this as opposed to just walking up to someone in a public place and just saying hello?
Because they're scared.
Of
now,
what?
Now everyone is scared.
Rejection?
Yeah, well, obviously.
It's just interesting because then we talk about being ghosted. It's a form of rejection. So you can get rejected on these apps too. So what, I guess the blow is not as hard because you never even met the person, therefore nothing was invested, or you couldn't be publicly embarrassed or rejected?
Here's the thing. In that sense, nothing has changed from 50 years ago to 20 years ago to 10 years ago to last year. These apps and these ways of figuring out how to date or have sex have just made it easier or harder to be rejected. It's become a way to go ahead and spread these forms of rejection, isolation, fear out in different ways that we didn't have before. But nothing has changed. They're just different ways for us to go ahead and feel these feelings that we did not have before.
Gosh.
And that's scary.
Yes.
It's a way for us to go ahead and use technology as a foothold, as a door, as a curtain, as a way for us to go ahead and unabashedly share our inner demons. Because you're dating somebody and you have a specific fetish, you might not let them know that you have that fetish well into a relationship, probably past the first time you ever had sex. But if you're willing to not have your face on a profile on one of these apps and you have that fetish and you want to act on it now, that allows you to go ahead and put it out there and find it.
Okay.
And so nothing has changed. It's just made things easier and harder. Easier because it's easier to act on these aspects of your life. Harder because now there's this stream of consciousness and sexuality where there's too many things going on. And it's not as wholesome as it used to be, in which you would just walk up to somebody at a bar and say a hi.
So let me ask you this thing, Greg. I think we've touched on a lot of the good topics as far as, you know, these dating apps go. Me personally, I'm in a place in my life where I'm not really interested in a very serious relationship.
Right.
Now, I'm trying to get my career going. I'm going to be moving around the next year. I'm stable, but not stable in the sense where I should probably commit to something serious with someone. Now the times that I've used the app, it's never been with the intention of I will meet the love of my life. A lot of times, many people do it, boredom, wanting to talk to someone, maybe just wanting to hang out with someone just to hang out, not really invest, whether it be romantic or not, something simple like that. Now, say years down the line, I do get to the point where like, yeah, you know, I want to settle down now. Well, then, am I forced to go back to these apps? Am I supposed to look somewhere else? Or do I just kind of play the waiting game and see what happens, happens?
As of right now, waiting game. Because we don't know what the landscape's going to be like when you're ready.
I agree.
So, with that said, there's still a lot of things in which we can do to go ahead and make our time on these apps better. Right? Depending on what you want. If you're willing to say that you are not into a serious relationship right now, are you willing to discount something like sex?
What do you mean?
No strings attached.
Like, say no to that? Is that what you're asking?
No, I'm just saying, is that a possibility for you on these apps right now? Not whether you have currently somebody waiting in the wings, but if that opportunity were to arise and you were in the mood and the stars were aligned.
If the stars were aligned and everything was right and it didn't feel shady and I wasn't able to get murdered or robbed, maybe upon meeting the person and everything's cool, then sure, why not? I don't think, you know, as like how we talked about earlier when we talked about people hooking up at a bar years ago. two consenting adults and know what they're doing, no one's taking advantage of either one, why not?
Perfect. Because it just sets the stage for what sort of things we can do. Right. It's about also admitting to ourselves what we're ready for.
Sure.
What we're not.
Absolutely.
And what we want at a given time. Now, I'm glad you mentioned about not going somewhere and getting killed.
Yes.
Because it's something we've talked about before, and I wanted to mention it today.
Okay.
Was the aspect of photos on these apps. And then really we can move on from talking about the app specifically and get more into the second half of our episode. Okay. If you've got a photo on this app and it is not within a month to 3 months of currently, as you look right now, as you are, like the only true difference should be the clothes you're wearing and your facial hair, maybe a hairstyle. But if it's been over 3 months and you know you look different, okay, I'm gonna go there. You know you've lost weight or gained weight. It goes both ways. And you are using an outdated photo, you are catfishing. You are catfishing using yourself.
Greg feels very strongly about this point that he's making right now.
Yes. And that's why if I'm gonna go ahead and engage with somebody on one of these apps, if the conversation's going well enough. And okay, look, not to mention that notifications on these apps can be like really shitty sometimes.
Yes.
I'm gonna go for not like, hey, text me a photo of yourself, but let's talk on Snap. What's your Instagram? Right? Like, there should be, and I don't find any sort of shame in verification of what somebody is like to some degree on these apps.
I do agree with you.
I was just wondering if you have an issue, actually.
I don't think I think too much into it enough to care so much about it. I think if I were to use the app and take it very, very seriously, well, heck yeah, yeah, I would have an issue because, you know, if you're going to put yourself out there and give what you perceive as yourself there, then you should be expected to receive the same. Sure, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
An updated picture, what do you actually do? None of this whole, I'm a CEO of my own company, but it's actually just Herbalife.
I doubt that girl you're talking about would be listening to this podcast, but if she is.
Funny thing is, we met in person, though.
Wow.
Yes.
Ironic.
Very ironic. Anyways.
Dirty.
But yes, you should portray who you are, and I think that you should be happy with portraying who you are, because you should want someone to love you or be attracted to you or talk to you because of who you are.
I'm really glad that you can bring in some self-identity there because that's what it's truly about. If you're expecting somebody to love you for who you are, to accept you, if you're serious enough to find or to want to find somebody on one of these apps that could be somebody you seriously date, somebody you build a relationship with, then why build any sort of relationship on a lie, no matter how small it is? Now, I've only been back on these apps for about 3 weeks now. 3.5 maybe at this point. It was a very long time before I could go ahead and get back on because of encounters I'd had, because of my past relationship, a lot of things and a lot of baggage along the way. But when I got back on, I decided, with the amount of space I had to describe the situation I am in or who Greg is, I was gonna be as fucking honest as possible and lay it all out there. So if you spot me on Bumble, you spot me on Tinder, right away it says what I do, what I'm doing, what sorts of things I'm into. I'm a recovering alcoholic, I'm bisexual, I'm yada, yada, yada. And I put it all out there, and I put on my favorite band, and I link to my Instagram because I'd rather have it all up front. We can still get to know each other organically, but I want you to know those aspects of my life first, because if you find out on the second date, you find out in one of our first in-person conversations, it's like, I don't want anybody to be surprised, because to me, in not sharing such a big aspect of where I am in my life would be a form of lying, because that's dishonesty. Somebody who says they're a CEO of their own business, but they're really involved in a pyramid scheme, that is a form of dishonesty. That's why I feel so important about that. Obviously, there's aesthetic involved. I'm not going to discount it.
It's the first thing you notice about someone, if you're attracted to them or not, physically.
Are you asking?
No, it is. Oh, it's okay. First, you see someone, that's how it goes. That's just how our brains work.
You know, and maybe we could touch on that a little bit more in the second half, because really, these apps at the end of the day were built on swipe left, swipe right, based on a picture.
I have to caveat for this. You know, hearing what you were saying right now about, yeah, and what we're talking about, putting yourself out there and giving the honest description of yourself. Honestly, this whole conversation makes me not want to use an app like this, whether seriously or not. I mean, it goes back to the first episode. I could never, ever, ever expect someone to know who I am based off a profile with four pictures and a bio that only allows 100 characters.
We're so much deeper than
that. Nor do I think I could ever get the full brunt of who a person is inside and out based off the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something inside me that's very, very uncomfortable with that. And I think that it diminishes a lot of the love we need to be having for each other.
Right.
The superficial thing. People have been superficial even before the apps. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to go, if you see a girl or a guy at a bar and you want to talk to him in a romantic way, you want to talk to him initially because you find them attractive.
Yes.
If you don't find them attractive, you're not going to have that inclination of, ooh, I'm going to go and talk to that person, see who they are.
It's true.
And I think that a lot of these things need to be thought about. I for instance, kind of going back more to away from the apps, I was at work the other day and one of my female coworkers was talking to me about like dating and stuff. And she was asking me, she was like, oh, well, how would you meet girls? So you'd use the app. I told her, no, honestly, I've never used the app to actually go on a date with someone. Have I used it and have I talked to someone on an app like that before? Yeah, sure. But I like to go and just talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, so you'll just go up to a girl and just ask her for a number? I mean, I'll go and talk to a girl, and if I want her number or would like her number, I'll ask her for a number. And what surprised me about this conversation was she was thrown off. She's like, wait, what do you mean if you want it? And I was like, well, yeah, I have to want the person's number. You know what right. I mean? I'm not just going to get a number just to get a number. And I honestly still kind of don't believe her, but she was like, guys aren't like that. Guys just go get a number just to get the number. Like if the girl's hot or whatever, you just go get the number. I was like, dude, there are hot girls, beautiful people all over the place. There is no shortage of people that are attractive. They're everywhere. You go anywhere, you're going to see someone who you find attractive. There is a shortage of people that you can talk to and actually have a meaningful connection with. Maybe I'm cheesy, maybe I'm weird, I don't know, but that's what I like to believe and like to see it.
I agree with you. But the bottom line is that we're at a point in society where everyone thinks they feel that way. Everyone believes they feel that way. Whether on paper they actually are or not, whether they put their words where their money is or vice versa, because I totally fucked up that metaphor. It's almost at the point where hearing that is no different from other people who say or think the same thing, whether or not they're practicing it.
Right.
But that's not the case here today, and that's not really something we can go deeper and deeper into, because everyone wants to feel that way. But when we get back, I think we should dive more into, now that we've set the stage up with how dating is started in 2018, let's get into the dates and the sex. We'll go into some personal experiences, and starting off the second half, we're gonna answer your questions sent to us, as promised, in a maybe not so rapid fire session. So go ahead and listen to this sponsored message. As you know, it's coming. And we'll talk to you after the break.
Serenity. Freedom. Love. yoga. Hi, my name is Rebecca Betch. Nice to meet you. I am lead yogi and owner of Betch's Yoga Studio. Here at Betch's, we provide the first female-only yoga environment where you can be your inner woman and enjoy studio sessions provided by me, Rebecca Betch. Take it from our top yogi of the month, Nicole.
You know, before Betches was even a thing, I was just trying to yoga my mind out, but couldn't find the right space, the right environment, the right time to become one with my inner goddess. And now, I can't think of any other place I would ever do yoga. The safety, the protection, and the serenity has brought me clarity I have never had before. So thank you, Rebecca Betch. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. Come now, and your first studio session will be provided with a free kombucha on us, provided by Kenny's Kombucha.
Betch's Yoga. You'll never yoga the same.
Welcome back to the Wild Bunch. Well, we promised it. We are going to answer a couple of questions from you listeners. Greg, take us away with that first question.
Oh, we got a little doodad here from Anonymous on Instagram. Now, there wasn't anything said about not being anonymous, but I think for the better, we'll go ahead and leave it this way. Question number one is, I'm dating my best friend's ex, or at least I'm about to be dating him. Is there anything wrong with that, and should I feel bad?
It depends.
I think all of them are gonna start like that to answer, at least.
It depends because, I mean, one, was this guy's best friend, you know, how close is this best friend, how long was the best friend dating this other person, were they serious, how serious were they, how long were they serious for? There's a lot that goes into these kind of things.
Right.
But is it impossible? Is there a black and white yes or no? I don't think so.
Okay, my first thought, why would you even want to date your best friend's ex?
Dude, it happens. So, for instance, the relationship that I had been in, longest relationship that I've ever been in my life, it actually started back in high school, and this girl had dated one of my best friends before she dated me. Now, granted, and there was no in-between, so she didn't date someone else after my best friend and then go to me. No, it was my best friend, and then we started dating shortly after they had ended things.
Right.
Now, the caveat. They had dated for 2 weeks. It was not serious whatsoever at all. She broke up with him because she just didn't feel like he was a right fit for her. He wasn't happy about it. No one likes being dumped, but he wasn't upset, heartbroken, anything like that. Okay. Now, this girl, I had her for a class. We talked, we're talking, got to know each other, yada, yada. Eventually, it got to the point where I was like, well, crap, I kind of like this girl. I think she kind of likes me. So what I did in that situation was I talked to my best friend about it, told him what was going on, and said, look, you want me to stop talking to this girl right now? I will do it. I don't even care. I will do it absolutely 100%. But if it's okay with you, then okay. Do I have your blessing?
Right.
He was totally fine with it. And that's when I dated her. Ended up dating for a good 5-6 years.
Okay, that's a really good example of how this could be a good situation.
Yes.
Win-win-win.
Sure.
Now, I think there are other situations where, okay, maybe even you talk to your best friend about it. Hey, I'm gonna start talking to your ex. I'm gonna go ahead and date your ex. I'm going to possibly have sex with your ex.
Uh-huh.
I think depending on the situation, I don't know. Okay. So, they break up and it's bad terms. And because you're the best friend, you hear about all the bad juju that came out of it. They're dating for months.
Okay.
Years. And you know just about every aspect of this relationship through your best friend. I think that's what really makes me ask the question, why would you even want?
Yeah, that's an easy no for me. Exactly. If that's a situation, that's a no, you should not do that for so many different reasons.
I mean, that Kool-Aid's bad.
That Kool-Aid's bad, exactly. And not only that, but if you know that it ended on very, very bad terms and you're gonna date this person, right? This other person. What, are you just never going to bring this person around your best friend then? Because that's what it would have to be like.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, well, then they're probably not really your best friend. Because I don't know about you, Greg, but I mean, if I have a girl that I'm interested in and I really care about her, well, she's going to meet you. She's going to meet you and all my other best friends. And I want everybody to meet her and get along and so on.
And that would be extremely awkward if it ended badly. But you know what? Addendum here.
Uh-huh, okay.
I like that word. Addendum.
I do too.
You've had sex before, but it wasn't a relationship.
Okay.
Like Eskimo buddies type situation.
Oh, like they weren't serious. They weren't officially dating.
Right. But they've had sex. Okay. And now you either want to date them or you've had sex with them, gonna have sex with them, something like that.
Were there feelings involved?
Let's say no for the first half of that question.
So they were hooking up, but there weren't feelings involved.
Right. But you know, then again, you could even say, when are there never feelings involved?
I was just going to say, well, not only that, but if it ended badly, then there had to have been feelings involved.
Right.
Right?
You know what I mean? Hurt.
It's not just like, okay, we're done, bye, you know, no hard feelings. Mm-hmm. But if there was hurt, someone got hurt, then absolutely there were feelings involved. And I don't know, maybe this is a strong opinion of mine, but if you're hooking up with someone for a long time, people do this, they're hooking up for a long time, they never make it official, they don't see anybody else, they're only hanging out with each other and they're doing this, no, dude, you guys are pretty much a dating. Like, you know what I mean? Call a spade a spade. That's what it is. Just because you don't want to call each other girlfriend or boyfriend or make it Facebook official, that's what it is. If you would get upset that this person goes with someone else, I'm sorry, you're dating.
I mean, it's like not being married and not ever wanting to be married.
Uh-huh.
But you're basically common law married because you've been living together for the past 3 years.
Oh, yeah. You're living together. You buy a couch together, a car, and you have a kid on the way. Yeah. But you're not married.
I don't believe in marriage.
I do believe in marriage. To do the taxes. I'm just kidding, guys. It's not the only reason I believe in marriage.
And I'm just kidding, too. I'm just making fun of those out there who find themselves in those situations because we all know somebody. So, thank you to Anonymous on Instagram. And you know what? You should feel bad.
Yeah,
you
dude,
should feel so bad.
Don't date your best
friend's
ex, man.
That's your best friend's
ex. Greg, I would hope you would never do something like that to me. And if I were to ever do something like that to you, you can punch me in the throat.
Cool.
Okay. You heard it here, audience.
Yeah.
Next question.
Oh my god. Okay.
This is a doozy. This is coming from one of our female listeners. Again, Anonymous.
Mm-hmm. And I love how you let me ask it.
I'm gonna let you ask
it. So, what's the deal with guys wanting to eat ass?
Well, it wasn't just that. It was just butt stuff in general. Oh. But that being included.
Okay, thank you. And this is heterosexually.
Yes.
And I think this is a good... Okay, so, right? If it was both ways, it's like, I mean, come on. Homosexually, that's like the only way to ever do anything after a certain point.
So that is a thing with homosexuals and it's common. It's not something like
exactly.
Shocking is what I'm saying. Because with heterosexuals, it still seems to be that thing where it could be considered shocking. You're saying on the other side, it's not shocking.
I would say it is the norm. Penetrative sex would involve butt stuff.
Okay.
There's oral, there's right other things.
Okay.
But... Right? Like, tried and true sex for homosexuals involves butt stuff.
Right.
Traditionally. I don't want to step on any cracks here because I know there's a lot of different forms of sex. But you feel me, guys. You know what I'm talking about.
Okay, so then back to the question. This is a heterosexual female asking the question. She doesn't get it. Why do some guys want to do butt stuff with me? And she even went as far as where guys have asked her to do oral on their butts and vice versa. And of course, the penetrative stuff like you've mentioned.
Yes.
Honestly, I think it's fine, but it depends on the person and the other person. If that's something that they want to do, go ahead and go for it. But if she's asking the why, well, because they probably like it, right? Simple as that.
I think it's... then yes. And also, side note, it's not something that should be asked on Tinder within the first few messages, just for the record.
Well, you probably should know each other pretty well before you ask something like that. I think.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I've had shorter flash to bangs.
I guess, okay, put in an objective perspective, subjective perspective, speaking for myself, don't go near my butt. Leave it alone. I don't want that. You know, that doesn't do it for me. Doesn't do it for me. I don't like it. I'm sorry?
No. That's all. You have the floor.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's my personal opinion on the matter.
Your taste.
Yes. I don't want...
I say it's more than opinion. It's,
you oh, yeah, don't, no. You, I don't that's... want a girl trying to do stuff with my butt. That's just... Squeeze my butt, but anywhere near, you know, that area.
Forgive me for putting you on the spot, but you know this for a fact because somebody's tried before.
I've been asked.
Okay.
I've been asked, and I said no.
You know what?
I don't want to try that.
I know a couple, heterosexual. I've known them since college, and that's as far as I will say anything else about them. But we used to have a joke because she, at one point in college, when they were drunk, shoved a finger up his ass during sex. And it freaked him out. I think it scarred him.
You can't not warn someone and do that. See, at least in my situation, the girl did ask. You know what I mean? And it wasn't like, can I do this? It wasn't like a sit down, let's talk. It was more like in passing, light conversation kind of thing.
Yeah.
But no, I don't want that. And I guess I feel for our question asker, because now that I think about that story, why did she want to do that?
Why would she?
Yeah, why? Yeah, why?
Let me elaborate more on the why would a guy even be interested in that? Because that'll fully answer her question.
Okay.
It's not just that they like it. So let's think about it. Dating and sex in 2018. This is sex in 2018. We have pushed the envelopes. The kids these days, Gen Zers, are creating memes about eating ass. Now, whether they're eating ass or not, I'm not too sure, but imagine...
But that's not fair. I don't think that this is the first generation that's ever done these type of things. But I do think that it's the first generation to really put it out there the way it's been.
No, again, that's what I'm saying. We're talking about how in 2018, these apps make it more accessible to air out your inner fetishes, things you would have never asked in person.
There you go.
So now that there is this ability to ask and have this forum of discussion for butt stuff, then the questions are coming. Now, like, it goes back to having the decency to ask in the right format.
Yes. And if a no's a no.
And because it's becoming a lot more accepted with this climate shift in a push for acceptance, for understanding what other sexualities are out there, for having a better understanding of different genders, different aspects of what people are interested in, guys are curious. And that doesn't mean like bi-curious, but sexually curious. If you keep hearing that something feels good, eventually you're probably gonna try it, especially if you're a guy. Like, you know, like how a guy will try to suck his own dick. We've all tried it. So if you keep hearing about something, eventually you're going to want to try it at least.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the way we get interested in sex at a young age in the first place. You start hearing about it or see something, what's that? And then you realize what it is and that it's supposed to feel amazing, right? Mm-hmm. And then you become interested in it.
Do you have any fetishes?
I don't know. I know what I like and what I don't like, but I wouldn't say that I have this kind of fetish.
I'm a big fan of the Mosaic negative.
What does that mean?
It is how in the commandments, God said to, yes, we're talking religion now, folks. God said to Moses, you shall not, you shall not, you shall not. The Mosaic negative is the, what don't you like?
Well, don't put anything in my butt.
I'm not in my head.
Yeah. What don't I like? There's not much. I mean, you know, I don't like the idea of, like, being hit. You know, yeah. I know that's a thing. You know, some people are very, very into that. I don't really want to be hit.
We can do a little tit for tat here.
Okay.
Alleviate some pressure.
Uh-huh.
I don't like it when somebody wants me to hit them.
Okay. That's happened to you? Or yes. Someone has wanted you to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, choking, hitting, uh-huh. And I'm a big guy.
Uh-huh.
And it's, like, if you know me, as serious as I am, I've got a big goofiness to me. It's just not in my natural, like, wheelhouse to want to hit somebody. And then I think about sometimes not knowing my own strength. And I would never, ever, maybe I'm a pussy. I would never, ever want to accidentally hit somebody too hard during sex. Or to choke them, God forbid, into passing out.
I do like to think, though, say I'm with a person, she's the love of my life, and maybe by the luck of the draw, she is the type of person that she wants to punch me in the face, as weird mm-hmm. as that sounds, right?
Yeah.
And that's her fantasy, for instance.
Yeah.
If this is the love of my life, I'm not opposed to being like, all right. You know what I mean? It's not going to do any... I mean, yeah, I guess it would hurt depending on how hard she can punch. Or, you know what I mean? But...
leave a mark.
I would like to think that couples, as they age and get older, you know, do the things that you want to try and are curious about. Try to have an open yeah. mind for your partner. Keep that in mind with the relationship so you can have a healthy relationship. Like, I don't think that there's a problem with going out of your comfort zone with someone that you very, very, very much care for.
Right. And I think to that point, along the way in finding out whether or not you love somebody,
uh-huh.
you'll get these feels and, right, like looking around in a dark room and you start to feel surfaces. And eventually you grab hold on to something and you're like, you know what? That's not it. That's not what I'm looking for. Right. Love is kind of the same way, in which if you're feeling around in the dark for these things, and she wants to hit me in the face, you know what, maybe this isn't the love of my life. It doesn't always work like that, but sure. I think it should be, we should remember that for the people who think a certain way,
right?
It's like a perspective where now I could never say, oh, I would never fall in love with somebody who wants me to spin their face during sex.
Huh.
But some people would have that natural inclination where they're just not at that point.
Right.
And we know people who are our age who act like 50-year-old men and women.
Yes. So, yes. It's very true.
And they're the type of people who would have that thought. Whereas maybe we're more open-minded and would be like, you know what? Every other fucking thing we do together is so lit. I love her. I love him.
Uh-huh.
You know what? Once in a blue moon, I got a spit on her face.
Oh my god. I hope I never have to do that. I'd never want to do that to someone.
Woo! Now, this is what I was expecting out of this episode. Because, okay, look. We talk so much about self-identity.
Right.
If we're going to go ahead and deny certain aspects of our life, sexuality and our preferences in sexuality are a giant aspect of self-identity.
You know, there are people that actually argue that sex literally runs the world and how we form and shape ourselves as society.
As somebody who works in advertising, I truly believe
that. Oh, definitely an obvious example with advertising.
You know, oof. The other day I was working on something and a client asked me if I could go ahead and include a sexy girl.
Oh, guys, he was pissed. He was very, very, like, taken aback. Genuinely, like, upset.
It's one thing to have it be about creative integrity and my work in design and putting out something out there that should be tasteful, but It's also in, look, I've been a scumbag when it comes to dating before. Uh-huh. Hardcore. And as a part of my shift away from that thinking, I don't want to put something out there like that. Like, that's, for me, it's almost like I would be going back in a way to that sort of thinking, you know? That's,
well, and not only that, but it's a cheap way to get engagement or to get someone to notice your business or your product. Mm-hmm. Of course, everyone's going to notice the, I mean, not everyone, but of course, if it's a sports bar and you put a very attractive female, and usually it's not even a female that they've met, it's like a computer image that they just take, right? And then, like, they just put it on the thing, like someone that they don't even know their name of. Of course, you're going to get someone to notice it more.
That's exploitation.
Exactly. And that's what we're supposed to be programmed to notice. Not the quality, not what it is or what we're getting, but the fact that there's a hot girl next to it.
Now,
I don't know.
If I had a deep aspect of creative control and had a model who had signed up for this, and we had talked about how to do it creatively, tastefully, all these sorts of things.
Sure.
That's a different story. But putting a design together using somebody randomly and exploiting them like that can't be a part of that. And I'm happy to say that we found compromise. And it was a great piece of work, and it pushed me in a way where that second design was better.
Oh, it really challenged you, and it came out, yeah, it's like how you said, it was better than the first one. I even told him, like, dude, I like it better now after this change.
How has sex, like, okay, sex sells.
Right.
How is that different now than it used to be?
How is it different? Yeah. Is it different?
I don't know.
I mean, think about it.
Like, are people changing to where, okay, there's more distaste or disgust in that sort of advertising? Or is it the same as it used to be, where we're all fucking dogs and pigs,
uh-huh,
and that's what we want to see, and that's what's going to sell us on something?
Okay, so when you say, how is sex sales changed? Well, what's being sold? Maybe if we get a clear example.
It could be a car.
Okay.
Hell, there was even a point where Arby's was putting a slant on that.
I remember that. No, it wasn't Carl's Jr.?
Oh, yeah, it was Carl's Jr.
They did it too. Probably both of them did it.
You know
the
what?
Paris Hilton eating the burger and getting the ketchup Arby's, all over her.
Arby's, I am sorry.
Why are you sorry to Arby's?
Because I know that they have more integrity than that.
How do you know?
Because they're delicious.
They are good. No affiliation or relation with Arby's, by the way.
And on the flip side, you're giving us heart attacks, so just be careful.
Let's see. I think that sex still sells. I think that it is a very easy way to get people to notice anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think that with some people, it takes more than just sex to sell something.
Yes. And I think in on the other side of things, look, there's a lot of different forms of attraction and sexuality now at this point. But I think for the basis of this episode, we can really stick to homosexuality and heterosexuality. Pansexuality, look, we're going to save that for the sexuality episode. Things right. like that. But on the flip side, when it comes to homosexuality, sex sells still too.
Okay.
Now, like, there's a hot guy in a Calvin Klein ad. And do you think that Calvin Klein ad that is selling underwear to men with a really, really scantily clad man on it is appealing to heterosexual men?
No.
Yeah. Nick Jonas selling Calvin Klein underwear is appealing to gay men and straight women who are buying their underwear for their boyfriends and husbands.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, sex really does sell still.
Now flip it, same Calvin Klein ad with the same model, but now that there's a pretty female model holding on to the guy.
Ooh.
Then it appeals to the heterosexual department because, oh, you know what? I wear that underwear. I'm going to be like that guy. I'm going to get a girl like that.
Damn. Did you go to St. Mary's?
I did.
Oh. Well, shit. Okay.
I don't buy those. I don't buy Calvin Klein, but what I'm saying is I don't buy those type of advertisements because I feel like I can't be fooled by something like that. But I'll tell you this. YouTube. I watch A lot of YouTube. I learn a lot of things on YouTube, and I'll admit this. Say, for instance, I'm watching, I want to learn about nutrition. I've been watching a lot of nutrition videos lately, right? And it'll be a female, and she's showing you how to cook, or she's teaching you about this and how it goes with this, yada, yada. I know, and it's just natural, and forgive me, but I will pay more attention or remember the more attractive girl saying these things than probably someone who's not as attractive. Maybe there's some context. Maybe if you're learning about fitness or nutrition, of course you're going to pay more attention to the person that's more attractive, because then it's that same thing.
Exactly.
If I eat what they're telling me to eat and do the workout that they're telling me to do, I could look like them or be on par in attraction with them. So sex does still sell.
Mm. It does. That's the bottom line. So, Oh, yeah, and I don't really have any fetishes. Not like that. Like, I'm not... I mean, maybe, like, role play. Like, I'd like some role play.
But, I don't know. Maybe I just don't like the, like...
The idea of labeling something?
As a fetish? Yes. But, I mean...
But, well, you know, it's okay to be vanilla, too.
What do you mean? Like, boring?
No, that's not what I said. Like... Some people really love the flavor vanilla, and it's not boring to them.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I don't mind vanilla.
I'll tell you this.
Sometimes I just want vanilla. Sometimes exactly. I want vanilla That's mixed with saying. Other things. There's Sometimes I don't even want it at all.
Vanilla, and then you get sprinkles and chocolate on it.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can literally use chocolate in the bedroom.
So
have you ever done food stuff?
Yes.
Okay. I've never... Now,
it's fun. It's just messy.
I would admit, one of my favorite... I guess that's like foreplay.
Uh-huh.
And everyone, especially if you're younger, like foreplay is super important. Just throwing it out there.
I think it's fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about the buildup.
But important. Like, it's key to a really, really good time for both partners.
It's all about the buildup.
Or all the partners.
Oh, gosh.
Have you been in a threesome?
No.
What? Okay, I guess y'all know my answer. So, one time, I was in a massage session. And I laid it out.
This wasn't at a parlor, right?
No.
Okay, good.
that's a cheap shot. I'm not even going to, like, try to build on that joke.
I just asked.
I said, like, I wanted it to be a good, special night. And so, I remember I, like, did, like, a little light dinner. Like, there was wine. I got, like, a massage oil. Put a towel out. And, like, really made a point of it being... I'm going to give you a massage. And okay, we were in a relationship, so there was a little bit of implication that I'm hoping there's fun. But that massage session was very sensual, very intimate, and it led to a very good it was good sex.
Okay.
And there's the whole shower off afterwards, things like that. And I felt like that was something that, even though at the time I was, 25? Like, it doesn't matter how young you are, there's a certain maturity in a situation that you shouldn't be afraid of approaching. It's like, that can be romantic as much as it is incredibly sexual and sensual. And I find little moments like that where there's this interweaving of sex and dating, right, in a relationship where it's not just about the sex and it's not just about the relationship and the date. It becomes something where you're becoming closer to another person in different ways because of that buildup, because of like actually putting thought into how you want to pleasure your partner.
Okay.
I feel like there is a big lack of that nowadays.
Really?
Maybe, among our age range and younger in 2018.
Okay. Well, do you think it's maybe a thing of, like...
maturity?
Well, everyone's out for themselves.
Joe, are you telling me people are selfish when it comes to sex?
Some.
I know.
Yeah. Some are.
You know, there's a lot of different ways to take this part of the conversation, because then we get more into, like, a very... okay, then there needs to be a change in society. And there needs to be more awareness of your self-identity. Because those two major groupings of concept and thought play into how we interact with each other, how we engage with each other on a one-on-one basis and build relationships, which then leads into how we date and how we go along our path of sexual exploration.
Right.
So it becomes very complicated. Like, where does it end and where does it begin? You know, what's the focus?
I think that... let me find my thought with this one. I think that when you're in a relationship for a very, very long time, and I think that there's a possibility that the sex could be fine, nothing's wrong with it at all, everything's good in that department, mm-hmm. but the relationship can still be crumbling on the outside and not affect the sexual aspect, and vice versa.
Oh, anger, hatred, anxiety can sometimes bring out these aspects of yourself that, when reflected in sexual activity,
uh-huh.
can be explosive.
Well, no, not even just that. I would say...
well, I'm not saying just that. I'm saying that is all, what happens. Like, two. Like, that happens.
I guess what I'm saying is that you can have a situation where sex has nothing to do with any other problems. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or there is some situations, and I know, you know, a lot of older married couples deal with this, where... sex, or the lack thereof, or the lack of variety or exploration, or, you know, trying different things is the problem. Yeah. They get along great, but they're just not happy or satisfied with each other. So going back to what you were saying, how important sex is in a loving relationship.
How unimportant should it be?
How unimportant should it be?
Sex in a relationship.
I think that if it's good and both of y'all are satisfied, it shouldn't be important at all, because it's not even a question. You know what I mean?
Okay. What about those who are our age and haven't had sex yet, or not much encounter with sexual activity, and it's one of those aspects where you can tell it's top of mind?
Okay. I think that that comes with... I mean, you can't... how do I explain it? I think when you're at that point, you can't avoid it for being top of mind. You can avoid it, but it's like it becomes more apparent and apparent and apparent and apparent and apparent that you just want it. People crave that physical connection with
intimacy.
People. Yes, exactly.
I think at a certain point, you're, and not you, but anyone in the situation, is going to have to let something give. And give in to that feeling and want to some degree. Like, okay, if you want everything to be perfect, if you want to be good at it, if you want to go ahead and have an experience, sometimes you're going to have to drop a requirement to have that experience. Now,
I don't think someone has to do that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Maybe I did say they're going to have to eventually.
Uh-huh.
But if it's that important to you...
if it's that important to you, you need to deal with that either by dealing with it like how you're saying, or reevaluate your thought process on the whole thing.
Right. Because like that might require therapy.
It is, yes. Because it is my belief that we shouldn't be making it that important in the first place. Because if we do make it that important to ourselves, that's how people get into unloving relationships or unfulfilling relationships or situations where they end up worse than what they were when they went in.
Is it freaking you out that people our age are having kids?
Yes. All the time.
Oh my god.
All the time.
I've got friends I've known since college who are 27. They have two beautiful daughters, and I am so happy to be considered an uncle in their lives or something very close to that. So it's one of those things where, you know, how am I still in this dating scene when people my age are also like building a life together?
Your parents bug you about kids or getting married?
Not really.
No.
No.
My dad's been on this thing where he's been telling me he wants grandkids. It started off, at first it was like, you know, joking, like, hey, when am I gonna get some grandkids, you know? But then it's like, hey, no, seriously, I'm not gonna be around forever. I want some grandkids. And my thing is, like, I'm not ready to have kids, so you're gonna have to wait.
You can't really be good in a relationship or somebody unless you have a real strong grasp on your self-identity.
Absolutely.
Now, we can really belabor that point, and I think if you've listened to the podcast, you know enough about how we feel about understanding the self so that you can go out in the world and change others, change lives, and be a force for this awareness and wokeness where it's like, hey, let's look at all of this a different way.
In other words, at least the way I see it, don't date someone to fulfill you or to make you feel whole. Don't have sex with someone to fulfill you or to make you feel whole.
That's not how you complete yourself.
Exactly. You are already complete. You just need to figure out how it is that you're complete.
I want to go ahead and end today's episode on a somewhat lighter note and a back and forth that we get to ask ourselves. What was the last good date experience you had? I know in the past year you had a couple, and maybe there's a few that you wouldn't classify as a date, but for this, I'm gonna say, you know what? We're classifying it as a date.
Okay. Last good, I think of the bad ones. I've had good moments that I wouldn't. Honestly, the best one that I could think of, I would choose not to share. Reason being is it was so good and so dear to my heart that that's mine.
Yeah.
Okay. Simply put.
No, it's fine. So I'll go ahead and share. It's been a long time since I've been able to think about dating seriously, but a couple weeks ago, I was invited out to Paper Tiger to go ahead and dance the night away for a dance party. And I wasn't sure what to expect of it. I knew I wanted to dance. I knew that I wanted to have a good time with this person in this fulfilling way of, right? Not thinking about sex, not thinking about anything like that, but to have a good time. And I'm not gonna lie, it was for the first time in a long time, and for the first time since my past relationship ended, that I had a genuinely good time regardless of any sort of having my mind on sex that I've had in a long time. And we danced the night away, and I am happy to say I've never danced like that in my life.
You dance?
I do dance.
Wow.
I love dancing.
You love dancing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like dancing sometimes. I will dance if it's for a girl I like.
There we go.
Yes. Other than that, no, I don't want to dance.
It's a big incentive. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening in today. Don't forget to send in more questions for next episode. There's one in particular about social media that we didn't get to today. We'll try to get to it next episode. Next episode's topic is, as of right now, complacency. And we're bringing in our first guests to go ahead and help us really air out these ideas. And look, we're all under 35 here. What does complacency mean right now in our lives? What is going on? How do we combat it? And what are we doing in a way that satisfies us every day and fulfills us, makes those college student loans worth it for one?
Uh-huh.
Are we working for the man?
Yes.
Are we happy with what we do on an everyday basis?
Yep.
Do we wake up in the morning wanting to work?
And do you feel the same? I'm gonna ask you next week when we record. You feel the same as you did last week? That's what I'm going to ask you.
I hope. All right, everyone. Thank you. This is the Wild Bunch. And Betches Yoga, if you've never been, well, you got to be a female. So.
Yeah, I've never been.
Thank you.
Serenity. Freedom. Love. Yoga. Hi, my name is Rebecca Betch, owner and lead yoga enthusiast at Betches Yoga. Here at Betches, we pride ourselves in offering the first and only female yoga environment where everyone is welcome if you're female. We take pride in offering a studio where you can be yourself, your own inner woman. I'd like you to meet our yoga-e of the month, Rebecca.
You know.